Ciao, Bella. I am Oceana Fortuna, and this is the Breathe Love and Magic podcast. We'll talk about a magical mix of mystical methods, including everything that works to live your best life, grow spiritually, and maybe find love. Open your heart, expand your mind, and connect with spirit to embrace the magic that is all around you. If you enjoy the show, please give it a thumbs up or write a glowing review and subscribe so you'll know when the next episode is available. And may good fortune come to all those who listen to the Breathe Love and Magic podcast. And now, on with the show. Today's topic for the Breathe Love and Magic podcast is past lives. I love history, so it only makes sense that I'm enamored with past lives and, of course, my own history. For me, it started in the fourth grade when I wrote a book report about the ancient Egyptian pharaoh Akhenaten. Then, in the sixth grade, when I studied ancient history for the first time and we focused on Egypt, I recreated the inside of a pyramid with two of my best girlfriends. We used my father's shirt cardboard from the cleaners and spent hours upon hours with colored pencils and magic markers crafting careful hieroglyphics like we knew what we were doing. And maybe we did. That'd be funny. Do you have a period in history you are naturally drawn to or curious about? That can be a big clue about your past lives. I love to read novels about King Arthur, the Middle Ages in England, Scotland, and Ireland. I love Henry VIII and his daughter, Queen Elizabeth I. Renaissance Italy calls to me, and the first European country I ever visited was Italy. Years ago, when I discovered a local group doing past life work, I joined without hesitation. Totally fun! This was an awesome class that met weekly for an entire year. We learned how to look back for past life situations that were connected to current life problems. This was incredibly helpful. So let's say, as an example, I was having a problem with someone at work. I told the group about it and how I wanted to know what the past could teach me to improve my current situation, or how to best handle things given my past. As a group, we would close our eyes and meditate on the question and my past life that is related to the question or the situation. We did this for each other, all focusing on one person, one question at a time. Having the entire group plus the teacher tune into the same problem raised the vibration, making it easier for us to reach beyond the veil. It was astonishing how several of us would come up with similar, if not the very same, answers and information. To me, it seemed fair that if multiple people got the same answers, this was confirmation of the information being on target and correct. We met weekly for our personal and spiritual development to take advantage of learning from our past and applying it to the present. As the weeks turned into months, what became obvious to me was that building the skill of looking back into the past was actually the very same skill as looking into the future. How magical. But I'll save that for another podcast. One of the most fun visions for me was asking a question that led me back to ancient Egypt and my childhood fascination. At the time, I was a wealthy woman, not royalty, but super wealthy for sure, and not very nice, I'm afraid to say. At first, I got stuck in the absolutely stunning jewelry I was wearing, just looking at it and reviewing it and admiring it. A very heavy, wide gold neck piece studded with lapis and other gems, wide detailed bracelets, big earrings, and rings. I was totally decked out, bling city. The teacher reminded me, of course, to move on since we didn't go looking for a fashion show. I did get a good laugh about that. I had gone back to look deeper into what a past life had to offer me about my present situation at work. I can't remember what the total point of it was, but in that life, I was, let's call it, an unpleasant person. Cruel to the servants, yelling all the time, Definitely not a lighthearted, happy woman. That's the part that sticks with me, as does the life that followed that one. In my very next life, I was a slave in ancient Egypt, making mud bricks in a camp of slaves who were building the pyramids. And this was the time of Moses of biblical fame. So I did eventually get freed and cross the Red Sea to wander in the desert for 40 years. Karma's a bitch, right? Of course, I can't prove anything about my past lives or what I've seen for others. However, there are several therapists who have hypnotized their clients to see past lives, future lives, and even time between lives. My first introduction to this whole idea of past lives was a book called The Search for Bridie Murphy, which actually was published before I was born in 1956. I read it in the 70s. About a woman who was hypnotized in the 1950s about her past lives. But in the 80s, this whole idea of past lives became very popular with therapists like Roger Wolger, who wrote Other Lives, Other Selves, and Brian Wise, MD, who wrote Many Lives, Many Masters, and several other books on the experiences of their patients. I was completely taken with this idea and highly fascinated. I wanted to know more. Then, of course, in the 80s, Shirley MacLaine started publishing her spiritual books. And while I loved Out on a Limb, my true favorite was Dancing in the Light, where she recounts many of her previous lives as she discovered them with a past life therapist. She had lived in countless countries and centuries around the world. I loved every minute of reading this book, Dancing in the Light. So you can see why, when I discovered the class that focused on past lives and helping me see my own, I was totally on it. There is also a newer book written by Robert Snow. He's a police detective who was curious about his own past life that he stumbled on. Portrait of a Past Life Skeptic is his book, and it reveals his real-life investigations proving that his other life memories were, in fact, lived by a real person. It's a good story if you have doubts or not. Some of my other favorites are about lives between lives, including a book called Journey of Souls and another called Destiny of Souls. They're by the same author. The name escapes me right now, but easily findable on Amazon. There's even one about a life after reincarnation called The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, which takes you through the afterlife of an advanced soul who moves on and decides not to incarnate again, kind of skips over heaven and moves on to much higher levels and shares them with the writer of his book, who is his sister. It was beyond interesting to me. So later on, as my skills increased, I started to offer past life readings at psychic fairs. This was completely fun. Three of these readings are memorable even today and have stuck with me through the years. So I'm going to share them now with you so you might see why they made such an impression on me. Later, as my skills increased, I started to offer past life readings at a psychic fair that one of my friends was running. It was completely fun. Three of these readings are very memorable and have stuck with me through the years. I'm going to share them now with you so you might see why they made such an impression on me. The first reading that is held fast over the years was for a young Japanese woman. At 24, she had sleek, long, jet black hair and beautiful almond-shaped eyes. Her name was on the slip, so I could tell she was Japanese versus some other Asian origin. She asked me why she was so afraid of the dark. She was also bothered by fireworks, which gave her a lot of anxiety, and she found this disturbing. Lastly, she wanted to know what her most recent incarnation before this current life was. As I went into a meditative state to see what I could find out for her, I was surprised to see she had been an American sailor on a ship in Pearl Harbor. I saw the Japanese bombers fly over, bombing the boats and the death and mayhem that followed. I was in awe of her spirit. Can you imagine being killed by a Japanese fighter pilot as an American Navy man and then coming back as a Japanese woman? That seemed so brave to me. It's a perfect example of how the soul comes to Earth to learn and grow. She came to understand the people who ended her life and spend time living their lifestyle and learning their ways. Sometimes we repeat lessons to get another chance at them, and other times we learn completely new things. When I gently told her what I saw, her next question was why she was so afraid of drowning. That became pretty clear since she had a violent and watery death at Pearl Harbor. It also explained why she was bothered by fireworks and afraid of the dark. The next past life situation is kind of a funny story. A woman in her 30s sat before me. She was very prim and proper. She had jeans on, but she gave the very buttoned-up impression and was clearly conservative in nature. She had short blonde hair and a nice smile. The woman wanted to know what past life was most influential on her current life today. As I went into the meditative state, I laughed to myself to see her as a young man holding what looked like a simplified clarinet or like a vertical flute, something like a recorder. You know, an instrument like a recorder today that has holes drilled down the center and a mouthpiece at the top. The music came out from the bottom. Timing of the life was kind of nondescript. It was maybe British history or Western European after the Romans left, but before the building of all the big churches. The man she was played a simple little tune on his instrument, and as a result, a line of rats started forming and following behind him, sort of like the Pied Piper of fairy tales and lore. He led the rats out of the medieval town, much to the relief of the people. When I opened my eyes and told her this story, she burst out laughing. It seems today people call her the Rat Lady. She studies rats in a biology lab. She thought this was hilarious and was happy to hear it. Taking this as confirmation, she was on the right path in her career in this lifetime. It could have just been symbolic of her current situation, but that's what I saw for her in her past as well. The last story I'll share was also pretty entertaining. My friend Lisa, who ran the psychic fairs, came to me and begged me to do a past life reading for a local newspaper reporter. None of the other psychics wanted anything to do with him, so she had suggested that a past life reading would be great and was desperate for me to agree to do it. You can see me rolling my eyes now, right? Oh my gosh. I didn't want to feel judged and scrutinized. I didn't want to be in the paper about the skill, thinking it might jeopardize my straight-laced marketing career and my day job. Probably not, but you never know. She wanted the publicity for the fairs to help build her business. So after some convincing, I said reluctantly, yes. The reporter came to my table with his wife. They were also in their early 30s and seemed friendly and genuinely interested in this whole thing about past lives. They told me nothing about themselves and asked no questions. Normally, I only work from the questions a person asks, so this was extra challenging, and I felt pressured to deliver something that sounded reasonable and interesting. As I went into the meditative state, I was transported back to a Scandinavian country. I'm not sure which one. It was a rustic time in history when people wore animal skins to keep warm, but it was not like caveman times. They definitely had metallurgy, et cetera, and it was more like the Middle Ages, maybe 600, 800 AD, hard to say. The guy was dressed like a Viking. He had a spear and a sword and was obviously a warrior. He had a big round shield, wore a heavy leather tunic, and a metal helmet for protection. Fearsome, he practiced his sword skill with other men, anticipating an upcoming raid somewhere, some kind of battle. After seeing this vision, I came back to the room in the present moment and was now faced with delivering this past life story. I was so nervous about what he would think. Would he think this was all nonsense? Would he think I was a fake? The pressure was building, but I had to say something. So I told him what I saw. You were a Viking. You were practicing with your sword and getting ready as a warrior to raid another village. I explained to him how he was dressed and what he looked like, with long blonde hair and a metal bead in his beard. His wife started to laugh loudly, and she smiled broadly. And so did he, because it turns out every year for Halloween, he always wears the very same costume. Yup, he always dressed like a Viking. While we didn't get any deeper into the discussion about why he was a Viking and what this had to do with today, they were both very happy with the reading, and he wrote a nice story in the paper. My friend got plenty of publicity, all that she wanted, and I did get mentioned, but thankfully had no bad repercussions. For me, I've seen plenty of my own past lives. I've been around the block, so to speak. One life that stood out, I discovered while working through a process with another coach. I was like an herb woman or healer who lived on the outskirts of a village somewhere in Western Europe, or maybe the British Isles, at the time when the Romans had conquered the British Isles. So, you know, within the first, 300 to 600 years AD, I was not well liked, unfortunately, in the village. And for the most part, people only came to see me when they needed something, like a remedy, a potion, or reading the signs. It was a sad and lonely life where I didn't feel appreciated or wanted. I earned a meager living and often spent my time alone, picking herbs and tending a small garden and making potions, etc., for healing. I had gotten to this life seeking what was holding me back at the time in my current life. And seeing that life was not very uplifting. At one point, as the coach was guiding me through the life, she asked what I was wearing. I had on a thick and heavy cloak that practically touched the ground, meant to keep me warm in the deep cold of winter. She suggested that I take the cloak off. Suddenly, I dropped that heavy cloak off my shoulders and let it slip to the ground outside my small hut. I was shocked, because this small action caused a great and heavy weight to be lifted from my shoulders. Somehow I felt freed by this gesture, and it seemed to reverberate throughout all of my lifetimes until this present time, and really shook me up, like watching dominoes that are all lined up and you hit one so they all fall one by one. It left me feeling lighter, and relief washed over me. Whatever I had been holding on to in that lifetime, the feelings from it, and now I managed to let it go by dropping that cloak. It definitely shifted things for me in the present, much to my surprise. You never know what you might discover and how it can impact you when you look into your past lives. I also revisited an amazing, fun, and rich lifetime in Venice, Italy, around the 15th century. This is one of my favorite periods of history, the Renaissance, with all the art and colors, an explosion of creativity. It totally speaks to me. I was from a wealthy family at the time and married to a wonderful, wealthy man who turned out to be my brother from this lifetime. We had many friends and everything anyone could possibly want. I had children and a big home, lavishly decorated in the way of the times. We were part of a secret society and spiritual mystery school, performing some kind of high magic as a group. This was for spiritual development and growth. I'm not sure what it was really about, but I know it had far-reaching impact for the good of the community. At least that's what it felt like to me. However, this was a time when the church ruled and was deeply involved in the Inquisition. So When I went to see how this life ended, I watched a group of soldiers enter the room where many of us were performing a magical ritual in secret, or so we thought. But someone had told the people in charge, whether it was the Doge or whatever, the people who were in charge of soldiers, they were notified. And the soldiers took their swords in hand and lopped off every single person's head in the room. That was the last thing I saw from that life. Of course, that was a heavy price to pay for magic. For me, seeing past lives helps me understand my current day lessons and gives me access to the worlds that I lived in and learned from. Mystics of today say we only need to remember these skills now rather than relearn them. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. The energy of life today here on Earth is supportive of our recalling what we once knew as it is still part of our soul today. And that's pretty magical the way I look at it. Some people say you need to be hypnotized to see your past lives. I have not found that to be necessary at all. It can be helpful to have somebody work with you and guide you through the process. There are even videos, I'm sure that you can find them on YouTube, that could lead you through a meditative process to discover your past. Just remember that what happened then stays there in that time and cannot hurt you in the here and now. That knowledge can be helpful if you run into unpleasant episodes. It's like what they say about Vegas. What happened in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happened in the past stays in the past. You are safe in the current day from anything you may encounter in your past. I encourage you to look into your past for what it has to offer you in this life today. You may discover valuable skills or tools that could be very helpful, or remember lessons that also apply to the here and now. It certainly can be fun adventure, and so enjoy it. Look into your past lives, see what you discover, and have fun. Thanks for listening today. Don't forget to like this episode if you enjoyed it, write a positive review if you feel inspired, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'll have more about love and magic next time. Until then, this is Oceana Fortuna reminding you to share your love and seek magic every day.